Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Sabrina and I am honored to be serving with liturgists as you this morning. If you are a visitor, we welcome you, especially with warm and open hearts. The flowers this morning are given in honor of Pat Yancey. If you will turn to the back of your bulletin, I'd like to highlight a few announcements. In 2018, the Asbury Food Pantry served over 6,000 pounds of food to people in need. Now they're in need of your help. The shelves need peanut butter, spaghetti, rice, pasta and sauce, mac and cheese, canned chicken, and cereal. Due to the government shutdown, we anticipate a greater need. Thank you for your help in ministering to our community. Check out our webpage for an expanded list. Pastor Mary will be continuing a study entitled Understanding the Basics in the Bible this Tuesday evening at 5:30. Everyone is welcome. Registration is currently open for the 2019-2020 ACCDC school year for church members and current students and siblings. Contact ACCDC Director Ms. Aura Button for more information. Beginning Sunday, January 27th from 5:30 to 7 in the large conference room, the study is Breathe, Making Room for the Sabbath by Priscilla Shirer. Childcare is available by contacting Laura Stinnett or our church office. Books will be available for purchase for the first class. All women are invited. Come join us for this 5-session study. As a reminder, the church offices will be closed tomorrow, January 21st, in observance of Dr. Martin Luther King holiday. Mark your calendar for February the 5th for Terrific Tuesday. We'll have more information next week. Please join me in passing the peace of Christ. Please stand to join me in our call to worship. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord.
The friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant.
God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble.
We will lift up our voices in praise to God, our strength and our redeemer.
Let us join in our hymn of praise, number 555, Forward Through the Ages.
Thank you.
Let us say together our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Today, I want to talk about putting God first and seeking the Lord first. So, have you ever been asked to do something that you've never done before and you're really scared about it? Y'all probably too young. Y'all think you can do everything, right? No. So you've been asked by your teachers or maybe your parents to do something new that you were scared of? Well, I have a story about that. I was asked to do something I've never done before, and I was really, really scared. Y'all guess what that was? It's doing children's moments. Mm-hmm. Did it a couple of weeks ago. Y'all probably remember I was super scared and I was shaking, and I still am. It was doing that. That was new for me, and I was scared to do it. So what did I do? I prayed and prayed and sought God, and I'm thanking him, I'm telling him that I'm scared, and I'm telling him to please let me know what to say or to just speak for me because I don't know what to do. And I wanted it to be good. I wanted y'all to hear something good, and I didn't want to mess up. So that's one thing that we always want to put Lord first when we're feeling scared or doing something new. And I have another story. It doesn't involve maybe something that I was scared about, but even when we do something new for the first time, like a new project, if we want to volunteer for something, or maybe we want to start, like, I don't know, some like a new volunteer project or writing cards for folks, when we start new things, we also want to seek God first in those when we do something new, because he has a plan for us. And the best way for us to be able to follow that plan and stay on that path is for us to continue to seek him, both when we're scared and when we're trying to start something new in our lives. And we want to maybe do a new service project or help our neighbors or maybe want to color some cards for folks. To just talk to God and tell him what you're doing and ask him that, hey, I want to do this for you and just help me make it right. And that's what we do. We continue to do that over and over. That's how we know we're going to be on his path and that he has for us for our lives. Yeah, so those are my two stories. I did one of those and I actually forgot. I started a brand new service, like a brand new thing, a brand new project in my life. And I forgot to do that. And we tend to forget to do that a lot. So I was in church 2 weeks ago and it just hit me and my eyes, I started tearing up. I was like, oh no, I forgot to bring God into this brand new thing. So you know what I did? I did it right then. I said, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to bring you in now and tell you all about this new thing I have going on and ask you to bless it. So it's never too late. Also, would you pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, thank you so much for today and for always being with us and for hearing us when we are scared and for hearing us when we're excited about new things. And we want to bring you into these new things every time, all day, every day. We love you so much, and in your name we pray. Amen.
As we enter our time of prayer, I would like for us to remember those that are listed on the back of our bulletin: Janet Brandt, Becky Flynn, Clifford Smith, the family of Nell Wilson, and family and friends of Marilyn Thompson. Let us pray. Our most gracious, loving, and caring Heavenly Father, our prayer this morning is simple. Be pleased with our praise and worship that we offer to you. May our songs of praise be sweet in your ears, and our words, offerings, and teachings be a fragrance filling to your throne room. Grant that all we say and do this morning finds favor with you. Lord, there are so many needs among your children, the need for health, the need for comfort, and the need of unity. Sickness abounds, and healing is needed. Loved ones have been lost, and there is a need for comforting. And there are divisions in families. So, Father, we pray for unity. Remind us we need to look to you for all our needs, and you will grant them in accordance with your word. Use us as instruments to give peace, comfort, and unity in your name. Lord, we also lift up the leaders in our government at all levels. May they all seek your guidance, your wisdom, and especially your heart as they lead this great nation, a nation founded upon your principles. Bless our nation and this world, that your kingdom will reign until you come again in glory. We pray all of this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Dear Lord, we are blessed beyond that which we deserve. Help us to see the needs of others in the same way you grant our needs and desires. Create in us a giving heart, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Remain standing and join in our hymn of meditation, number 405, Seek Ye First.
Please be seated. This morning we're going to hear from the Word of God as recorded in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, looking at verses 28 through 31. This is a conversation that Moses is having with God, so we pick it up at the 28th verse through 31. And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of men's hands that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are high and when you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not fail you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers, which he swore to them. The word of God for the people of God. The idea of just make the call. Approximately 15 years ago, I was involved in the arduous task that all of us must go through at some point of clearing out my parents' home following their death. Now, this was a home that they built in 1955. It was a home that they had lived in for 48 years. It was a home in which my mother, a product of the Depression era, waste not, want not, collected and kept most everything, because after all, you never know when you might need it. Remember? And so I found myself having to make the call of what was important to keep to the heritage of our family and what was helpful to give to others that could find use and new purpose for these things, and other things which the trash can would find purpose for. It was quite the job, and again, many of us have already gone through this experience. The street where this home was located, my childhood home, ended at a little tiny wooden bridge. It was a lovely street, and the neighborhood kids from the attached neighborhood where we lived would quite often get to the elementary school by going down a steep ravine, crossing the bridge, and getting over to the elementary school. Also, there were times when I went to high school that I could do the same thing because the high school was located on the other side of the ravine. But the interesting thing is I would be rich if I had a dime for every time someone came down the road with their car and thought they were going to be able to drive over that little bridge. They would turn around the driveway because they had made the call. They couldn't get across that bridge. Moses spoke to the Israelites concerning their future in the promised land and basically told them there was only one way out. They had to make the call if they wanted to live. They had to follow God. Now, God's message to Moses to deliver the Israelites was very clear. If you want to leave and live your life, then you have to throw away your idols. You just do. Because I'm the one true God. I am Yahweh. There is no other God before me. There is no other God but me. You are to throw away your idols and worship the one true God who creates you and sustains you. Now, this message is just as relevant for you and me today, because think about the things in your life, the things that are vital to your lifestyle that you have made idols that are so important to you, you can't imagine your life without them. I mean, God says if you want to live, worship me. It sounds reasonable. Who doesn't want to live? Who wouldn't want the Lord God Almighty by their side? I mean, think about it. Most of the idols they had were some kind of wooden statues, maybe even some precious metal ones. But, I mean, they couldn't talk back to you. They couldn't hear what you were saying. They couldn't change anything about your life. They had become literally a token representation of what the people thought they needed and wanted in their lives. Again, think about the idols in your lives that are token symbols of what you believe you need and want in your life. But what we don't understand is this God who wants us to follow him, this God who wants us to obey him, this God who gives us instructions, this God that knows we don't particularly like constraints, this God who loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son so we could live with him forever, that kind of love. This God gave us something called freedom, but hopes that we will obey him with the gift of this freedom, because if we don't, then this freedom becomes our very bondage. So it can be a tough call. The Razorbacks play a game. They need a win pretty badly. Don't the Razorbacks always need a win pretty badly? Oops, I didn't say that. It's the final play of the game. Our guy catches the ball. He heads toward the goal. The opponent gets closer and closer, faster and faster. He kind of looks over his shoulder and, oops, I believe he stepped out of bounds. The referee says, wait, stops the game, reviews the tape, and makes the call. It's decision time. Every single day we wake up, we make decisions. We make decisions that shape the rest of our day. We make decisions that shape the rest of our lives. We make decisions that shape the direction of other people's lives. Every day, we're called to make the call, whether it's as difficult as getting out of bed because you're feeling slightly depressed, whether it's as difficult as getting out of bed because there's woes at work, whether it's how you're going to treat your illness, what you're going to do with your life. Are you going to be served or serve? You just got to make the call. And Jesus makes it so simple. He gives us a life plan. He says, follow me. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He's saying, you know, otherwise you can stay out there and you can fish all day long, and maybe you catch some and maybe you don't, but it's pretty temporary, and then it's over, and then you got to do it again. He says, well, you can follow me, and I will make a difference in your life, so then you go out and you make a difference in other people's lives, and that is what you call living. Real living. I mean, I'm there. I'm about to cast my net into the sea of retirement. I don't know what to do beyond what I've done for 34 years. Oh, I'll rest some, and I'll go play with the baby some, and I'll maybe pick up a hobby and maybe finish that book, and you know, I'll do something like that. But it won't take long. And I know I'm going to have to listen to my new calling. Because that's how God created me. To respond to his purpose. Whatever shape, form that looks like. And believe you me, I spent the first 10 years after college trying to figure out what that looked like. And I was spinning my wheels until I finally listened and followed and was obedient. See, God every day is telling us to make the call. And Moses had been through so much with the people. He had heard their cries. He had led them through the wilderness. He had become beyond frustrated at listening to their complaining. Absolutely disgusted by their complete disregard and disrespect for God. Hear the scripture passage again. Seek the Lord and you will find him. If you search after him with all your heart, with all your soul, you will find him. When tribulation comes, return to the Lord and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not fail you or forget the covenant with your people. Covenant. We love the sound of the word because it holds promise, it holds reliability, it holds connection. We don't particularly like the part where it holds obedience and accountability. It's the whole package covenant, this thing covenant. Return to the Lord, seek him. When we do that, we have peace. When we try to figure it out on our own and, you know, just twiddle our thumbs and go, oh, what must I do? And we worry and we have what you might call a fit because we don't give it to God who gave us our lives to begin with and who says to us every single day, I got this. You follow me, I got this. Return to the Lord, seek him. When we do that, we have peace. Oh, don't we love that beautiful hymn because of its words and its meaning? Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. It begins with us because it really begins with God. We trust God, and God gives us that peace. Every day in every conversation and action, we make a choice to either live in peace or to follow unpleasantness, chaos, worry. Someone starts bad-mouthing somebody in a conversation, and oh, you kind of think they're kidding and all that, but you know what they say, and every bit of kidding's an ounce of truth. And they're just kind of waiting to see, after they've laid it out there, if you're going to join in and add your 2 cents and add a little bit of diss here or there. Or they're going to see if you remain silent, which means I'm not going to go there. Or if they can tell by your body language, I'm not going to go there. And so which is the better witness? Which kind of witness would you want if you were the subject of that talk? We just have to make the call. Every conversation, every action. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus did not say, I'm the detour away from love. He did not say, I'm the way to death. He did not say, I'm the way to lies. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have to make the call for the abundant life. So many times as a minister, I've had to make a tough call. You know, you may think that this is the easiest job in the world. You figure out what to say for about 15 minutes or 12 if the congregation's lucky. I heard that choir. You work one day a week, Sunday. Oh, you might show up in the office for a little bit just to kind of take up space. You're not really doing anything. You're not answering emails or phone calls or dealing with troubles or dealing with staff or dealing with this or that. No, we don't do any of that. But seriously, there are times that I get situations where I have to make some tough calls. And one of the tough calls that I learned a big lesson about is that when you're dealing with people, it doesn't matter if the preacher's right. What matters is that you resolve the situation peacefully, even if that means that you're apologizing because it's the right thing to do. You see, you're making the right call to make things right, not particularly to make things really the way they are. You see, you do that too in your relationships with your coworkers, your family. Is it important to be right? Or is it important to be kind and understanding and empathetic? And then there's the tough calls that you make to move the church forward. You know, we can always do the way things have always been done. Or we can actually try to grow and get off our behinds where they've sat for so many years and move forward and doing a little bit more mission and ministry that takes a little bit more effort that might even be slightly inconvenient to your schedule. Or it might be to push beyond what we've always been and do something different. Not for the sake of doing something different, but because you've prayed about it and you've asked the good Lord to move you in a direction of growth. You have to make the tough call. There may be some that don't like that change. Very few people like change because what are you doing? You're asking them to change. You're asking them to get out of the comfort zone, to branch into the unfamiliar, which is never particularly comfortable for any of us. Adventurous, possibly, but not always. So here we are. Got to make the tough calls. Perhaps the toughest call for me to make is to tell a member of the church that someone that has been their lifelong friend, that they've sat next to in that pew for every day, that they've been to Sunday school every single Sunday, that they've been to every UMW meeting with, that they've done everything together, they've gone to every lunch after church, that they just passed away. Or maybe the tough call is when you've been told that someone has a terrible illness and the prognosis is not good, and you have to share that. You've been asked to share that. Tough calls, you make them. Doctors make them. Lawyers make them. Bosses make them. Parents make them. Teachers make them. You make them. I make them. In the scripture passage today, God is basically saying, your life is not being lived in the way I created you to live it. Now think about that. How does God feel about that? We take our life and we waste it. We just squander it away as if the next day and the next and the next and the next are guaranteed. We live life frivolously sometimes. And how is that bringing the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, which we just got finished praying? In the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verses 24 and 27, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. We will come to him, make our home with him. In other words, just make the call. We're there. You will feel the Lord's presence and it will change your life. Last Sunday at the 8:30 service, I kind of embarrassed myself. I gave what I felt was a Spirit-filled message. I felt the Spirit very strongly. It was a moving service for me. It was again yet one of the last of my offering a service. It was the remembrance of our baptism. And every single person filed by, and I called them by name, and I said, remember your baptism, and be thankful. And it touched me, and it filled me, and I thank God for the privilege of doing what I do. And in my benediction, I just said, grow in grace. And I choked on the words because I felt it so deeply, and I wanted every single person to feel it as deeply as I did. And I said, grow in spirit. You see, I think that somewhere along the way, we've been so concerned about getting worship right that we're not getting the spirit filled. And I've been as guilty of that as anybody. Worship is wonderful, but feeling God's spirit makes it an experience. One time I was guilty of being just a Sunday churchgoer. Later on in life, I was guilty of being just a Sunday worship leader and preacher. I'm not guilty of that anymore. I am spirit-filled, and you, Asbury Church, have gotten me there. If you don't feel an amen with that statement, you're never going to feel it. You see, I believe this is for two reasons. One, I guess I'm a little slow. It took me 30 years to get cultivated, to not only receive the Spirit, but give the Spirit. And then there's another thing that's unique to this church. This church is the only church I have ever served that I didn't feel like I was constantly being nipped at my rear. You see, when you're not having to look over your shoulder to see who's attacking you all the time, you're free in the Spirit to move and to preach and to lead. Amen? I mean, don't you feel that way when you're at work and you don't have a boss breathing down your neck, but you've got someone giving you freedom to explore your talents, spread your wings, do your work with God's blessing? Or the same thing in your family life? See, that's what it's about. It's not about great preaching and great music and great fellowship. It's about great spirit. And you say, well, yes, but we need a great message, great music, great fellowship to get great spirit. No, you don't. If you don't feel great spirit every single day of your life, it's because you're not seeking great spirit through prayer and solitude and meditation. See, sometimes we get so involved in doing things right, we're not being in the spirit, and then we've made the wrong call. I'll close in this, and yes, that's one thing about being here 7 years, you've heard this story. I'm sorry. Tony and his dad were following a maze of tall shrubbery. They got to a point where you went either left or right, but you had to choose one or the other. Tony said, Dad, I believe we need to go this way. His dad said, no, son, I think we need to go this way. Bet you 50 cents. No, I can't say that in church. I wonder who was right. Tony's father was right. Just like our Heavenly Father is always right. When life has its bumps and things happen which we don't expect and don't necessarily want, we can get involved in time-consuming detours with possibly our limited ideas, our limited understanding, or we can seek ye first, like we just sang, the kingdom of God, and everything will come unto you, which means everything will work out. You know, Jesus did talk about worry quite a bit. I guess he was worried we would worry. And so he said, don't worry. Today's going to take care of itself. Just because it takes longer and the bumps get a little bumpier in our lives at times, the right call has been made by God. The pathway is clear, and God will tell you the right way to get out of this maze of chaos in our lives. And find the eternal love and truth. We just have to make the call to Jesus every day. The Lord will see us through. He will get us to understand the why. Because that's the biggest question people pose to me all the time. I don't understand why I had to go through this. I don't understand why they had to suffer so long. I don't understand why. Well, don't look at me. I'm not God. But what's important is trust. And God may reveal to you instantly as soon as you trust why, or God may let it weave out in a slow, beautiful strand. But either way, you're going to know why. And you're going to feel a greater peace, and you're going to want to hit yourself in the head like, why didn't I trust God? He was working it out all along, and I was just too stubborn, too prideful to see it. So I share with you as I close the verse that has saved me time and time again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, in everything, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hymn of Commitment, I Am Thine, O Lord, 419. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church or would like to come forward in prayer, this is the time to do so. Let us stand and sing, I Am Thine, O Lord, 419.
Thank you.
wonderful to be in fellowship with you. It was great that you came out on such a cold winter's morning, but I hope you felt warmed by the Spirit. Let us receive God's blessing. And may the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit, warm your heart as you go out these doors and share Christ's love to all. Amen.